Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither reap nor sow nor gather into their barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
And peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, I got to tell you, as I was writing this sermon, this idea of living in the gray and the question of today being living, I think the words we use, living in a paradox, I struggled a little bit. I struggled a little bit to write down what I wanted to say. I knew a lot about what I wanted to say with paradox, but I couldn't figure out why I was struggling, and I prayed. And I had a moment where I realized what the struggle was that I had. Sometimes just naming your own struggle starts to help. Well, here was my struggle. One that maybe some of you have. Anybody else struggling with politics and the world lately? Okay. I realized, though, that much of my struggle is in how we treat one another. It's so easy to take the humanity out of the other, whoever the other is. The one we struggle with is most often the best way for me to understand that. See, I've always been one to believe strongly that we can disagree on the how we are going to get it done, but that God calls us to love the other, and that finding our common humanity is a key step in our own journey. But then there's a certain weight in that task as well, isn't there? There's a weight in the task of loving the other that, regardless of where you stand on the political spectrum, has made me struggle more than usual in the idea of putting away these alleluias. I got to tell you, I did not want to put away those alleluias because God knows I need them right now. It seems our world is once again calling us to a black and white view of one another that paints you as righteous or unrighteous, as right or wrong based on your viewpoints. It's in the midst of this climate that I say I love this text. It has a simple beauty to it, but at the same time as it has a simple beauty, it has a great weight to it. It exposes the struggle of being a Christian. Eva Sue Littleton, you know Eva Sue, it's funny, she wasn't here this week. Oh, I shouldn't have told you. But Eva Sue poked a little at Jesus' example here in the text this week by putting it in this text was in a different version of it in Luke, but it was in our Bible study a few months ago. And she said of this text, you know, those birds of the air, the ones that neither sow nor reap that Jesus is talking about, they still spend an awful lot of time building nests for their nest eggs. And I thought that was a good point that Eva Sue brought up. And we too find ourselves both serving God and wealth as we seek protection and safety over our fears. even as we long to faithfully serve God. This struggle, I believe, is best spoken by looking at the paradoxes in our Christian faith, because the paradoxes of our Christian faith help us to see the tension that we all live in as children of God. Now, let's start with a definition. A paradox is two seemingly contradictory statements that nonetheless are both true, even as they stand in opposition to one another. It starts with believing in a God that is fully human and fully divine. How can that be? This belief in Christ Jesus is where our paradox journey begins. Examples of Christian paradox are all over the place, but the one that it seems like so many of the others come out of is the belief that when we look at each and every one of you, and actually when you look at each and every other person, we can say that God looks at them as a sinner, and God looks at them as called to be a saint. See, we believe that each and every one of you are broken, messed up. And yet we believe that each and every one of you are a gift from God. How can they both be true? It becomes a focal point for our faith as we wrestle to understand what its implications are. So as we end this series on living in the gray, I would argue that this is a great final lesson. When Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters," we know of the struggle right there. That you cannot serve God in wealth, well, how many of us are not doing our best to serve both in some way? These masters, though, they call us to decidedly different places, offering us different things. And the two masters are both alive and well in the world today. They relate directly to the saint and sinner paradox. For as these two masters are calling us, we often find ourselves struggling between worldly wealth and power and our desire to serve God and serve God effectively. So we are sinners that struggle to let go of wealth, aren't we? A wealth that for some is of money, but I would open that up and remind you that it's more than that. For others, it might be more on some other power that they wield or a power that they long to wield. But God says, we are all children of God, that we are all blessed with gifts of power and wealth, and that they can be used as a blessing to others. So, saint and sinner, living in this saint and sinner paradox, let's talk about that for a moment. It's not meant to be a free pass, you know, a sort of a free pass for poor behavior, right? Hey, I'm a saint and I'm a sinner, so the devil made me do it. I'm sorry. Is that what we're supposed to say? No, of course not. That's not a valid Christian excuse. But the saint and sinner idea is very helpful as a tool for compassion and forgiveness for those who are struggling that we come across in our lives. If we can look at that person who is feeling as a sinner and look at them as a saint, maybe our gifts can help them, reach out to them, lift them up. Like the Good Samaritan was lifted up that person on the side of the road. Saint and sinner helps us to see that person and not look at what they've done, but look at them as whose they are. See, not who they are, whose they are. And reach out to them. Love them where they are at. It's a tool. But that also brings me to another point. It's also, the saint and sinner thing is not meant to paint you as the saint and the other as the sinner. That would be exactly what the Pharisees were doing. That would be exactly what Jesus was combating in today's scripture. The Pharisees, good people who heard God's word and set about trying to live it out in their life, but found themselves chastising those that were not living up to the law, that found themselves as the lawgiver, to a point where it seemed like they had created a line in the sand of basic expectations, which one might look at and say, is that unreasonable? But of course, what they were doing was missing the many ways they were falling short themselves. This black and white view of the world created a red line of living that you couldn't fall below if you wanted to receive God's grace. If there's a line that you have to get to receive God's grace, I got to tell you, that's not God's grace. God comes to us in all things, wherever we are. This hierarchical viewpoint, it doesn't sit well with Jesus. Jesus saw this and struggled with the Pharisees because of this. This hierarchical viewpoint that is alive and well today. You know, it stands against the very beginning of the Word of God, the very beginning of Scriptures. When God looked at all that God had created, what did God say about all that God had created? God looked at it and saw that it was good. So what is it that we can do to understand better our relationship with God? What is it that we can do to help our world that we know is in desperate need of help? What do we do with this broken, messed up gift for the world that you are? Martin Luther reminded us of another paradox that was in the law itself, the law that the Pharisees were trying to follow, the law that Martin Luther was following. He said, you know, we have to remind ourselves, law is a gift. Law creates community. Help us to find healthy boundaries for living with one another. But the law, while creating that good community, also binds us and exposes our imperfections and our weaknesses, not only ours, but our neighbors. Well, the Pharisees saw the law as the way to live their life correctly, but did not see how they needed that grace. And this comes to where I was struggling before I wrote the sermon and the prayers that I was having. As I struggled with our world today, this was the prayer that I started with before I wrote my message. I wrote down, and by the way, it's not an eloquent prayer. It was a prayer of my wants and needs to God. And sometimes you can do that too. So this is what I wrote. I want God to help me to see my own faults and to expose the Pharisee that is in myself, and for God to help those I struggle with to see their faults too. I want God to help each of us to see what a gift we are, even as we also realize that that other person is also a gift. I want God to help me see that this world and my neighbor are a beautiful part of creation. And I want my neighbor, indeed, my enemy, to see that same thing about me. As we put away the alleluias, the paradox is that the alleluias won't leave us. God's grace is not going away for Lent. But we will spend this time focusing on examining the things, the small steps, the small ways in which we, as individuals and as a community of faith, can live out the grand picture of the kingdom of God that has been shared with us. It's here that I find comfort, for I know my job is not to solve the world's problems. God has called me to love my neighbor. But when I love my neighbor, when I love the neighbor that I struggle with, then my neighbor begins to love me more. And when God's love grows like this, it can't help but bring more alleluias into the world. And these alleluias themselves become more and more contagious as people see old ways being done away with, old struggles being overcome. And I believe wholeheartedly that in spite of a broken and dark, sinful world, that God comes to us with grace and mercy, offering us an opportunity to share the greatest paradox of all to others. That one who was once dead now lives, and that you who are blind now see. Amen.